Well, I'd like us to start this lunchtime by playing Spot the Odd One Out. So here we go. Is it A, gin and tonic? Is it B, Ant and Dec? Is it C, Brussels sprouts and ice cream? Or is it D, hammer and nail? So which one of those is the odd one out? I'm hoping that you can get it pretty quickly. A, gin and tonic, they go together. B, Ant and Dec, they go together. D, hammer and nail, they go together. Yup, C, Brussels sprouts and ice cream, they are the odd one out because they do not generally go together. And if you think they do, I'm afraid you're in need of serious help. But the rather more serious and relevant question for us this lunchtime is this. Are work and worship like Brussels sprouts and ice cream? Are work and worship two things that really they don't go together? I mean, just think about those two words for a moment. We all know about work. Probably some of us here feel we know about work a little too well. I mean, long hours in the office, computers, papers, coffee machines, deadlines, prêt-à-manger lunches, jumped-up little urchins trying to tell us what to do. We know about work far too well. And worship, well, worship seems a million miles away from work, doesn't it? I mean, if I was to ask you to think of some words that you'd associate with worship, I guess you'd probably come up with words like singing, church, praise, guitar, God, music. We'd think of some of those words, but we wouldn't think of the word work. Work and worship. They don't seem to go together at all. And yet, did you know that in Hebrew, the same Hebrew word, avodah, it can be translated as worship and work. So when you're in your workplace, wherever that workplace is for you, whether it's the RAF Benevolent Fund, whether it's the BBC, whether it's Topshop, or wherever it is that you work, your workplace, it's actually your worship place. You see, worship is something that goes intimately with work. It's not like Brussels sprouts and ice cream. Work and worship, they are meant to go together. And I hope we'll see more of how that is the case and why that is the case as we look at our Bible passage today that Michelle read for us. So I wonder if you look on your service sheet, you'll see the little outline there that we're going to be basically going through an ABC of worship. So firstly, A. A is for act. The act of worship. I wonder if you could look at the first verse of chapter 12. And look at the first verse of this chapter. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." So what's the act of worship according to the Apostle Paul? It's there in the middle of the first verse. It's to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, we've already been thinking, haven't we, about words that don't go together. And as I say that phrase, living sacrifice, I wonder probably in all of your minds, you're thinking, well, living and sacrifice, they don't really seem together, go together. I mean, the whole idea of a sacrifice is that it's killed, isn't it? People would bring along a goat or a sheep or a bird, and the sacrifice would be killed. And yet here, Paul is talking about living sacrifices. In a sense, I think Paul's saying, he's saying, don't bring a sacrifice, rather be one. Don't bring a sacrifice, you be a sacrifice. He's saying you and I, we are the sacrifices. And we remain living. So the act of worship, it is offering our bodies, offering our whole lives to God. So it's about what I say with my tongue. It's about what I think with my mind. It's about what I watch with my eyes. It's about how I use my talents and gifts. It's about where I go with my feet. There's an old story of a young boy who was very moved by a sermon that he heard by someone on financial giving. And the preacher, he'd been talking about how God is the great giver and that all that we give is to be in grateful response to what God has already given us in Jesus. And after the sermon, the big collection plate was passed round. And the boy, he looked in his pockets to see what he could give in the offering. Now, you can tell it's an old story, because as the boy was rooting around his pockets, what did he find? He found a dirty old handkerchief, a rusty old penknife, and a conker. I mean, if it was a modern story, you'd probably have found an iPod, a mobile phone, and a Game Boy, or something like that. But it's an old story, so those are what he found. And he didn't feel that any of those three things, they were adequate gifts in the light of what God had given him. And so he was standing there, holding this big collection plate, and he hesitated. He wasn't quite sure what to do. He hesitated, and then he put the plate on the floor, and he stepped onto the collection plate. Now that is an illustration, a picture of this act of worship. It's offering our whole bodies, our whole lives, our talents, our gifts, our jobs, our money, our whole lives, offering it all to God. And so the question for each one of us this lunchtime is, have we begun this act of worship? Not the act of coming along to the lunchtime service. Not the act of feeling nice fuzzy feelings as we sing a worship song in church. But have we begun this act of offering our whole lives to God? Because if we have, well then work is very much intimately connected with worship, isn't it? But I would guess that most of us, we feel that we're actually holding back from letting God take full control of our lives in our workplaces. And that's why we need to be reminded of the B in our ABC of worship. B is for basis, the basis for worship. Have a look again, if you will, at the beginning of verse 1, and just see how Paul starts this chapter. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." And so he goes on. Now, as you probably know, Romans, it's the biggest, it's the most meaty, it's the chunkiest letter of Paul's in the whole of the New Testament. And we're at chapter 12 here. Paul has already covered a lot of ground in the first 11 chapters of Romans. He's covered a lot of ground, and yet he's able to summarize all that he's said in the first 11 chapters in just two words: God's mercy. You know, you haven't understood Christianity if you haven't realized that Christianity is all about those two words. It's about God's mercy. That is Christianity in a nutshell. God not giving us what we deserve. Many of you will know the story only too well of Jean Valjean in Les Miserables. And Valjean, he's an ex-prisoner, and he manages to persuade a bishop that he can stay the night in the bishop's house. And during the night, what happens is Jean Valjean, he steals some of the bishop's silver. Well, sure enough, he's very soon caught by the police, and the police bring him back to the bishop's house. And the door opens. There is the bishop standing there. And what happens next takes everybody by surprise. "Ah, Valjean, how good to see you," says the bishop. "It's lovely to see you. I'm so pleased that you could come. I thought you'd come back. You must have come for the candlesticks. You know, they're silver too. Take the candlesticks as well. They're meant for you." The baffled policeman head off. The baffled Valjean remains standing there in front of the bishop with his mouth open wide in disbelief. And Valjean is never the same again. The amazing mercy of the bishop, it has such an impact on Valjean that from that point on, he devotes his whole life to helping others. You know, Christianity tells a similar story. Each one of us, we have robbed God. We've robbed him of the praise and the honor and the love and the obedience that he deserves. He could insist on the rightful punishment that we deserve, an eternity separated from him in hell. But instead he does something so very, very remarkable. Instead what he does is he offers us a gift, not a pair of silver candlesticks, but he offers us the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. And this gift, it cost God the death of his son. That is God's mercy. God not giving us what we deserve, but instead lavishing on us an amazing gift. Jean Valjean, he was never the same again after the bishop's act of mercy. And we will never be the same again if we have realized God's act of mercy
towards us.
We will want to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God in view of God's mercy. This is the basis for worship.
Let's move on to C, the choice to worship. It's an ongoing choice to worship. Have a look, if you will, at the next verse, verse 2. Have a look at verse 2. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
So the choice is there, very simply, in verse 2. Do we conform to the pattern of this world, or will we be transformed by the renewing of our minds? Conform or be transformed?
Now, I've said it before, but I think all of us, we need to work hard at not being chameleon Christians. We need to work hard at not being chameleon Christians. Chameleons, don't they? They take their colour from their surroundings. They conform to the world they inhabit. We mustn't be conformed by the prevailing culture that we inhabit.
So yeah, there's a gossiping culture in the office. Doesn't mean we need to gossip. Yeah, it's okay to lie if it gets me out of trouble culture in the office.
Doesn't mean we need to lie.
Don't be a chameleon. That is the challenge to us. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. But rather be transformed.
One of the many joys of being a new dad has been reading Daisy some children's stories. And she's only 5 months at the moment, so she actually takes more delight in managing to eat the books rather than listen to what I'm saying. But I like reading her the stories, so that's what I do. And one of my favourite children's stories that I've been reminded of again is probably one that's your favourite too, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Okay, you probably know the story well. As the title might suggest, the caterpillar eats rather a lot. And then at the end, after he's eaten loads of stuff, you know, he's eaten a lollipop and a slice of watermelon and all this sort of thing, this is how the story ends. Now he wasn't hungry anymore, and he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore. He was a big, fat caterpillar. He built a small house called a cocoon around himself. He stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nibbled a hole in the cocoon, pushed his way out, and big surprise, he was a beautiful butterfly. Now, why on earth do I tell you that, you might be thinking? Well, this is what we should be. Not a chameleon Christian who just merges into our surroundings, but a caterpillar Christian. A caterpillar Christian letting God transform us like a caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. Letting God transform us into the people that he wants us to be. So this is the choice of worship, the daily ongoing choice of worship for each one of us. Chameleon or caterpillar? Conform or be transformed? And this transformation, it starts as God, he renews our minds. That's what verse 2 says. As God renews our minds, as his word and his spirit work together to transform our lives. I once read, I can't for the life of me remember where I read it, but I read of a church which has a sign. You know, many churches have this sign. It says, you are now entering a place of worship. They have it on the way in as you go in. There it says, you are now entering a place of worship. But this church, it didn't have the sign where most churches have it. It had it at the main entrance, but it had it on the inside, above the door, on the inside, so that people were walking out of the church building. As they were walking out of the church building, they look up and read, you're now entering a place of worship as you go out of the church building. Well, that is a great demonstration of our final point. The D is for the dimensions of worship. You see, whatever each one of us does each day, wherever each one of us is each day, as Christians, it is worship. The dimensions of worship are huge. David Peterson is one of the head of one of the best theological colleges in the UK. And he's written this about Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Just listen to what he says. He says this. He says, the first two verses of Romans 12 place the concluding chapters of Romans under the umbrella of worship. So what does the Apostle Paul, what does he cover under this umbrella of worship? Well, just look briefly at what follows. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 is about our relationship with ourselves. Look at verses 4 to 13, just glance at those. They're about our relationship with other Christians. Look at that towards the end of the chapter. Well, it's all about our relationship with all people. With all people, not just Christians, but our relationship with all people. And if you were to turn over to chapter 13, you'll see the beginning of chapter 13 is about our relationship with authorities. So with governments, and also with our authorities at work, our bosses. So all of these areas, you'll see them up there, our relationship with ourselves, with other Christians, with all people, with authorities. All of those come under the umbrella of worship. You know, it's no wonder that Vaughan Roberts, he's the pastor of a church in Oxford, he's written this. He says this: "You cannot judge a church's worship by what happens in the hour or so when they meet on a Sunday. The real test is how its members behave during the rest of the week." You cannot judge a church's worship by what happens in the hour or so when they meet on a Sunday. We might add the half hour or so that we meet on a Thursday lunchtime. The real test is how its members behave during the rest of the week. So as you leave this building in a bit, as you head back to work this afternoon, would please, each one of us, would you remember, as you head back to work, remember that sign. You are now entering a place of worship. Let's pray to close. Father God, we praise you for your amazing mercy that you have shown to each of us. And in response, Lord, we want to offer you our whole lives. Father God, we thank you that our workplaces are our worship places. And we ask that you would help us to be transformed, to live lives pleasing to you in our worship places this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.